Welcome to Recovery Coast to Coast, broadcasting from Clear Channel Studios in Seattle, Washington, carried live on Fox Radio 850 KHHO in Tacoma, Washington, and carried nationally in streaming audio at www.recoverycoasttocoast.org. 2 hours of interviews and features, plus questions and comments about this one-day-at-a-time adventure in personal recovery as we share experience, strength, and hope with others so that they may recover from alcohol and other drug and behavioral addictions. And now, Recovery Coast to Coast is on the air. Here's your host, Neil Scott.
Welcome back once again, Recovery Coast to Coast, the only program in America on the air 5 nights a week, 2 hours a night, talking about addiction with a focus on recovery. We're at the 40th annual NADAC conference. NADAC is the Association for Addiction Professionals, the conference being held between Seattle and Tacoma. People from all over the country are here, and when I found out that our next guest was going to be here, I realized that it would be for me the highlight of the conference. Because way back in 1980, when I was the editor of Alcoholism and Addiction magazine, I was introduced to an exceptional treatment program down in Statesboro, Georgia, called Willing Way, and got a chance to meet Al Mooney, the director of Willing Way. He wrote a book that I had written a blurb for and promoted and gave copies away and talked about it and referred people to, called The Recovery Book. I've been doing that over the years, and I realized that, you know, it would be nice at some point if that darn book was revised and there was a new version of it. Well, by golly, it has been revised. The good folks at Workman Press said, you know what, we're going to have the second edition. And Dr. Al Mooney is the author, along with Catherine Dold and Howard Eisenberg. Al is here in Seattle, and he's right here on our show tonight. Al, good to see you again. It's been, gosh, 30 years. Holy
smokes. It's been a long time, Neil.
We're still in the trenches, still working at it.
Oh, man. You know, most of those people that told back, remember those days we were talking about burnout. Most of those people that told me I was going to burn out are dead now. So it's great to be here. We're here for our West Coast launch of the new edition of the Recovery Book, and Workman has supported us giving away book and seating to counselors so we can get a wonderful message of recovery out. The science and the recovery is just more optimistic than it's ever been.
Take us back to the very beginning of the first edition, how it came to be in the Recovery Book.
It wasn't really intentional, but Willing Way grew out of the treatment that happened in our home when I was a teenager.
Back in the 60s.
Right. My mom and dad got sober in 1959. My dad had to go to prison and lost his license, which he later got back. My mom had shock treatments, and today we call it dual diagnosis. She was, you know, she was in the throes and in mental illness, and I was a kid that watched all that. And when my dad, they always told me he was going to be a better doctor. I thought it meant a medical meeting. I was actually kind of relieved and reassured to find out it was prison and he had a disease. But he got sober, and folks started taking care of people in our home. And I grew up really living in a treatment center during those years. Willing Way grew, and as I went into medicine, and that's a story in itself, started helping alcoholics and addicts, I was almost frustrated about everything people needed to know when they leave treatment that you never get in treatment. And so out of that, through a lot of circumstances, came the Recovery Book, and we worked for years on it. And since the first book came out in 92, you know, Al Gore's invented the internet, and we, you know, all kind of things have happened. You know, now prescription drugs are the number one drug problem in America, things that we really didn't see coming. But you're right, we were getting a little dated. And now the science is so exciting, and I'm not talking about drug company science. I'm talking about mindfulness, brain healing science.
That
explains the psychic change that even people won't believe this, but alcoholism really is an allergy. I mean, immunologically in the brain. So there are things that I can't even explain to my colleagues that are so exciting because I've grown up with this field. And so the new book addresses these, but most importantly, we try to present to people an equation so how they can see recovery as a developmental process and prioritize life as they grow.
And as I recall, and I may be wrong, but I believe when the first book was introduced, it was at CCAD.
You know, that was when we had all these conferences around the country. CCAD was the biggest one.
And Barbara Turner. I remember all these names are coming back to me. Diane DeCesar.
Yeah. It really is. You know, history is so neat. We don't have to. Thank goodness you and I at least don't have to keep reinventing that wheel. But we launched a CCAD, and the idea at that time was there was so much there was so much activity that we felt like if we could put a recovery tool in the hands of the leading counselors and program people in America, that we would really do a service to the suffering alcoholic. And that's what we did. And it was so successful that here 22 years later, Workman launches our second edition, and we're now doing an East and a West Coast launch. And that's what brought us to NADAC here in Seattle.
What is the difference? What are some of the enhancements, some of the revisions that you put into the second book?
The first book is built around a chronology of growth and recovery. And this came, my co-author, and I wish I could claim it as my idea, but my co-author has written literally the Bible of pregnancy. Arlene Eisenberg wrote a book that every woman who's had a baby knows called What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Right, right.
And it's a very positive-oriented book. Up until her book, everybody was like down and dirty and everything was based on pathology. But she put life into pregnancy and loved what happened at Willingway. It was our family story that got her introduced to us.
Wow.
And then when I was needing to write more of what I did, we came up with the recovery book that develops on growing in recovery. And the core principles of the recovery book came out of some focus groups we did with what we call winners in recovery, people with no less than 10 years of sobriety. And they told us all the things they had to do to be winners, and it'd make you want to go out and take a drink. So we said, this is not working. And then we pulled things in ways that they had never thought of, and this later became the phases, 1, 2, 3 in the first book. But they said, after we teased it out, they said, first we had to save our lives. We didn't have to go to college. We didn't have to make amends to other people. But saving our lives was important. If you're dead, you don't have anything to fix or improve on. So that became the phase one that's now the red zone. And then they said, once we saved our life, it was important to do with it what we were capable of. Go to school, build relationships, have a good time. Some people took up skydiving or fishing. And that's what we call now the yellow zone. And then they said, once you've saved your life and have done something with it, then you celebrate recovery by living as long as you can. You got to stop smoking and check your cholesterol at some point.
Yeah.
And then you share it with others. You build treatment centers. You get into counseling. You write a book. Those kind of things. And
you go green.
Yeah, that's right. And it's the green. And so now, because phase 1, 2, and 3 were a little, they didn't ring right. In watching people use this book for 22 years, we have redesigned the concept of recovery development, and we call it the recovery zone system. Red, yellow, green. Activate, build, and celebrate. So we've really packaged it in a way, and it's not just the color zones. It's a second phase we call, which fits in well with people with AA inventory work and recovery, what we call a zone recheck, where regularly or periodically, depending on your life, you say, what am I, red, yellow, or green today? If you're 30 years sober and you had your hernia operated on, you're red. because a lot of people have relapsed after taking those drugs you get in the hospital. We try to prevent that kind of relapse. And it's really worked out really well that it's so well received. There's so much buzz about our system. That also includes a little brain science of how to take your brain to the gym that we know now. It's really been exciting to watch people receive this new book.
We're at the 40th annual NADAC conference. We're visiting with an old friend, Dr. Al Mooney, who's got a new book. Actually, it's an old book, but it's a brand new book because it's the second edition, completely revised and updated. It's called The Recovery Book, Answers to All Your Questions About Addiction and Alcoholism and Finding Health and Happiness in Sobriety. Act, build, and celebrate. It's important, Al, to celebrate recovery, isn't it?
My life is so exciting today. Now, I'm not, well, maybe I will. I've been around, I joined a 12-step group for teenagers back in 1961. So this is I'm in my 53rd year of my personal recovery as a family member in long-term recovery.
Ladies and gentlemen, the oldest living teenager, Al Mooney.
Well, I switched to an adult version of the same 12-step group. But it's very exciting. And every day, including reliving some of the history that you and I are talking about, is just the joy in life that a lot of us find from living a life of recovery. And I'll tell you, if somebody would put a whole trainload of drinks in front of me, even though I've got that genetic predisposition, there is nothing a chemical is going to offer me that I can't get out of life like I'm getting through this recovery.
How do you define recovery? Lately, people have been grappling with an official definition of recovery.
Yeah.
And certainly it's more than just abstinence.
Absolutely. And this was a major obstacle in writing our book, because when we wrote the book, we have a red zone that means you getting into recovery.
Right.
So we, at some point in our manuscript, we had to say, where does recovery begin? because you get up, you ask 100 people and you get about 50 different answers. And what we decided, and actually it was an elegant, almost too easy solution. And we go back to when people who are now in recovery found the best solution to life from a problem with alcohol there's ever been. That's the definition of recovery or membership for Alcoholics Anonymous originally. Now, AA has changed its membership requirement. But originally, the requirement for membership in Alcoholics Anonymous was an honest desire to stop drinking. Mm-hmm. And so now you can lie about it and just a desire. I tell people that's the only loophole in AA. But anyways, we went back to that and we decided after all the research we did that if a person has an honest and sustained desire to stop drinking, we're going to call that recovery. And then that's the red zone. And we start out giving people information. When you have that desire, you know, we want to hold your hand through the process of saving your life. And actually, AA gave us another answer to when that life is saved. If people are familiar with the big book, and whether you're an AA member or not, I advocate it, but on page 83 and 84, AA describes the rewards of sobriety in what it calls the promises. And I tell people, if when you can look at the promises and not feel like you're being given AA propaganda, yeah, then you have saved your life. Yeah. And that's the red zone that then moves to yellow. So recovery is once people have that honest and sustained desire. Of course, one of the concerns about that is that now there's a lot of misinformation about prescription drugs. There's a lot of misinformation about the value of addiction drugs approved, yeah, by the FDA. And so my real fear and concern, and that's why the book is so important to get out to people, is that a lot of people are not really given access to the information that will lead them beyond that red zone into yellow and green and real meaningful lifelong
recovery.
Or they're
given misinformation. The yep. Internet is great for a lot of things,
oh, absolutely.
But there's a lot of misinformation out there.
There's a lot of misinformation. And I spend time, even with my doctor colleagues, explaining some of the signs. You know, you can't do a six-month study, and alcoholism is like breast cancer. If you do a six-month study for some drug for breast cancer and you go try to sell it, you're going to get laughed out of the room because you've got to go 5 or 10 years. And that's the way addiction works. If we don't have answers and solutions for 5 or 10 years, and we know 12-step recovery gives us lifelong answers. Now, I'm a physician, and I don't want somebody to die in withdrawal. So medications are important in creating kind of an on-ramp for recovery in those difficult cases. But there is no science that supports the lifelong use of medications to promote recovery. And the engagement, yes, but we want to guide people to where the answers for lifelong recovery and happiness, and also intergenerational. We've got 4 generations of recovery in my family.
Wow.
And I'll show you a little video clip that you can find at therecoverybook.com about my grandson who's helping me create awareness of addiction.
Tell me about the website.
It's therecovery.com. One of the real changes in the new book is that young people are getting into recovery now, and young people go to the internet. And like you say, there's lots of information, and you don't know how to trust it. So because the recovery book is one of the most trusted resources for addiction now, we have vetted a lot of internet resources, and we use therecoverybook.com and at therecoverybook on Twitter to help guide people who are interested in social media to trusted sources of help on the internet. And we also do a lot of blogs, and we do work ourselves to help people understand in depth what recovery is about. Good or bad, we had to edit out a lot of our material for this book. Now we call that bonus material because, you know, people have fewer words on a page now than they used to. And the internet occupies people's minds a lot. So we've actually turned that to our advantage to create a robust website that guides people on the internet once they find it through the recovery book.
I've always said that the recovery book, the original one and now this one, is really the Bible of alcoholism and recovery. Yeah.
Well, you said that, not me, but I love those kind of quotes.
it really is. Everything you need to know, you will find here, at least a starting point to get more information. And I think this should be in the hands of every treatment center, and every treatment center should put it in the hands of every patient.
And that's my personal goal, to break through that noise and actually get this book in the hands of everybody who gets treatment in this country. And like I said before the interview, we've got a great following in the UK and other parts of the world because there's some interesting cultural differences in other parts of the world than we have in the United States. And some of the open-mindedness for things like we present in the recovery book, and even some of the integration of some of the medication approaches early in recovery, have been well accepted in other parts of the world. I'll be making a trip this coming year over to the UK to support some of my followers over there.
What about the role of families?
Families are so important. As I said, my recovery personally, even though genetically I probably have that predisposition, and I'm kind of a wannabe alcoholic, but I'm not. But I'm too much of a wimp to go get qualified. But I'd love to be. I'd love to have my own 12-step program for my own alcoholism. But those of us in families are affected too, and in some ways, we are sicker as family members. I know those days when my mom and dad were. My dad was in prison and zoned out on his medicines a lot of time. My mom had her shock treatments. It knocks out your memory. But I was a child developing up to the age of 10, and at that age where everything goes down permanently in my brain, and so much of my personality was imprinted with the horrors of addiction. I remember when my dad was in prison, and my mom would still drinking. She would go out on a weekend to her family in the country along a busy road north to south, Highway 301 for people on the East Coast, and she was too drunk to drive. Nobody wore seatbelts in those days. Nobody dealt with drunk driving. And I remember as a kid, and this will tell you how old I am, with my hands on that cold steel dashboard on the edge of my seat with no seatbelt, saying, "Mom, get back in your lane. There's a car coming. Oops, look out for the ditch. No, don't turn here. Turn your blinker off. You've got another mile before you turn." And that was how we got home on the Saturdays after she was drinking. So I've been affected, and all families are affected. And there are about three times as many family members as there are alcoholics. So I'm very big on family treatment. We have a whole chapter for the families in here, and it redirects families into those red, yellow, green zones that we tell patients to go to. But we kind of translate it for family recovery.
A lot has happened in the last 25 years in the recovery movement. And recovery has become a lot more fashionable, a lot more. A lot of people have confused anonymity with secrecy.
Yep.
And now people are standing up and saying, "I've got nothing to be ashamed of. I was not anonymous when I was drinking and using, that's for damn sure.
That's
I should
right.
not be anonymous in my recovery." How do you feel about people standing up and speaking out on
I think recovery? It's wonderful. I would never say on my radio show if I was a member of one of these 12-step,
of
particular 12-step groups, because there's a tradition there
that
says we're anonymous at the level of press, radio, films, and TV. However, I rarely go in a public forum that I don't talk about myself being a family member in long-term recovery. You know, I think it gets beyond the shame and the guilt. And, you know, when I say that, something interesting happens, because I watch the veil drop from other people's shame and guilt. And I'll tell people I'm a physician and I do addiction because I grew up in a family. And, you know, they don't ask me about medical care. They ask me about my family's history of addiction.
Yeah.
And I just take that path wherever it goes. And I'm still codependent enough to worry if I didn't volunteer and disclose that history, who might never get access to recovery because it is so hard to get good information about how to find recovery now.
And your story is in the book. Your family's story is in the book to start it off.
Yeah, there's the first chapter is on the Mooney family. But people who listen to the show that have seen the movie, My Name is Bill W., that's almost universally known. But Bill Borchert, who wrote that movie and that book, last year wrote a book on my family. Bill was looking for a case study of a family with horrible addiction that now got better and has integrated professional treatment and recovery into that recovery model of treatment. And he found, on the recommendations of people around the country, he found us, and he's become like a member of our family.
Oh, he's a great guy.
The book is When Two Loves Collide, and it's available everywhere too. But When Two Loves Collide by Bill Borchert was written, we had a lot more people understanding at least our personal family story. And it's the backstory for the recovery book, and we cite that as a reference in the first chapter.
This book is for everyone.
Absolutely. Everybody knows somebody with a problem. Who was it? We were giving out books today, and I had someone come up from what did he do? I think he sold beds or something to one of these treatment programs here. And he came up and started asking us questions. And we gave him a book and we said, "I don't know who you are, but I'll bet you know somebody that needs this." And he kind of shyly said, "Yep, I think I do."
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Al Moody joining us tonight on Recovery Coast to Coast. It's been a, really one of the highlights of 40th annual NADAC conference to hook up with him again. It was back in the 1980s that I first found out about Al Moody and the great treatment program called Willing Way in Statesboro, Georgia. From that came the book, the recovery book.
It's about 22 years.
Holy smokes. And, yeah. And now it's updated and it's revised. Just as you launched it at CCAD by giving them away, you're launching it here at the 40th annual NADAC conference, and I'm sure it'll have the same success for workmen and for you, and more importantly, it's going to get into the hands of the people who need it. Someone approached me a little while ago and said, I wish I could get copies of this book for all my patients, and I said, here's what you do. You work with workmen.
Workmen has a great disc. You get 60% off. I tell people, you know, that you can buy three of my books for one Abilify pill.
get a discounted rate, and how many books you can that comes out to, whatever you can afford, whatever the price, and then go to a local Kiwanis Club, go to a local Rotary, go to a local foundation, go to a local company and say, we can place a book that is so wonderfully written and contains facts, not just innuendo and not misinformation, but perfectly researched information, and get it in the hands of everyone, and it won't cost you anything because they will pay for it. So I'm hoping that this is even more popular than the original book.
Well, we're optimistic too. And actually, one of the things that Workman has committed to this, we found that a lot of people, and this I didn't see this coming, but we're finding that a lot of colleges and universities and community colleges particularly, where textbooks have gotten so expensive and don't even address the practical subject, this has become a textbook in community colleges and universities. And also in prisons. The book is actually, as a paperback with no staples, you can use it in prisons.
Wow.
So we're having orders from prisons. We're having prison personnel trying to get it for their inmates. We've got somebody in Virginia working on stocking it in prison canteens. So when you buy your Cheetos and your cigarettes, you can get a book to save your life.
22 years ago, I called it the Bible of Recovery, and I call it the Bible of Recovery today with the second edition, completely revised and updated. The recovery book, answers to all your questions about addiction and alcoholism and finding health and happiness in sobriety. My good friend, Dr. Al Moody, so good to see you again, and I'm so glad you've got this book out, and thanks to Workman.
Thank you so much, Neil, and I appreciate all that Workman has done to help us get this information out.
I'm Neil Scott, the program Recovery Coast to Coast. We're at the 40th annual NADAC conference, and this particular segment brought to you in part by Eve Ruff, CEO of Residence 12 for Women in Kirkland, where recovery is reality. www.residence12.com. We've got more from the 40th annual conference of NADAC, the National Association of Addiction Counselors, and it's been great to meet with Al, and we'll continue with our program right after this short timeout.